Second chapter, going to read the verses 1 through 12, and we're going to focus on verses 8 through 12. A wonderful little book of the Old Testament, Ruth 2, beginning at verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." She said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? When you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." So far, the reading of God's word. Church history provides numerous illustrations of godly, committed, diligent, hard-working women. Women who denied themselves and served others out of love for God and neighbor. Acts 9 mentions a woman named Tabitha or Dorcas, who was full of good works and acts of charity. She made tunics and other garments for widows and those in need. Driven by love for Christ and the gospel, she selflessly served others. What a blessing it is to have such women in the church, women who serve not to be noticed and praised by people, but for the honor of God and the joy of others. We greatly value our Proverbs 31 women. She does good. She works with willing hands. She provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. Her lamp does not go out at night. Proverbs 31 says, "A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, Ruth had become such a woman. Born in Moab and raised among idolaters, Ruth came to know, love, and fear the one only true God. And her subsequent life revealed a woman of godly character. Today we want to focus on Ruth 2, verses 8 through 12, where we see Ruth finding refuge under the wings of Yahweh. From these verses, I direct your attention to three things: a hopeful reception, a humble response, and an honorable reputation. We begin this morning with a hopeful reception.
We saw in our previous message that Ruth asked and received Naomi's permission to go to the field and glean among the reapers, which was provided for in the law of Moses. God cared about the poor, the widow, the fatherless, and the stranger. His allowance of reaping was a practical way for them to survive. Landowners were expected to show compassion for those in need and allow them to go over their fields after reaping. By the kind hand of providence, Ruth ended up at the field of a man named Boaz, a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of both wealth and integrity, a spiritually minded, God-fearing man. She asked permission of the foreman to glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. She worked diligently from early morning, stopping only for a short break. Boaz arrived from the city to inspect the crews. He spotted this unfamiliar young woman gleaning after the reapers, and he inquired about her. The foreman told him that she was the young Moabite who came back with Naomi, an industrious young woman. So having gained some information through his foreman, Boaz went directly to her and began conversing. Look with me, please, in your Bibles to verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women." Notice how Boaz addressed her. "My daughter, my daughter." Some believe that this expression indicates the difference in their age. Naomi had also used that designation in verse 2 when she said, "Go, my daughter." He could have been old enough to be her father. That is possible. He certainly showed a fatherly concern for her. He forbade her to go to any other field and instructed her to stay close to his young women. It may have been profitable for people like Ruth to move from one field to another, from one to the next, from one farmer's crop to another. Boaz, however, cautioned her against this. Instead, she was to stay close to his young women. During the harvest, ordinarily men would do the actual reaping, and then women would follow behind, collecting and tying up the piles of cut grain into bundles for transport to the threshing floor. Boaz gave her a very favorable position. You might say that she gained the status of being the most favored gleaner close to his hired young women. And in verse 9, he showed additional kindness. What did he say? Have a look, verse 9. "Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Boaz was not naive. He knew very well that this young woman was in a vulnerable position. She had no man to protect her or to appeal to. Boaz realized that she might become the subject of crude jokes, innuendo, or disrespectful conversation and conduct. He made it very clear to his laborers that they were not to make her feel threatened or intimidated in any way. They must respect her and leave her alone. The highly esteemed landlord had himself become her protector. Furthermore, Ruth was granted permission that whenever she was thirsty, she may drink from the water of the vessels which the young men had drawn. This, too, was a very generous offer on the part of Boaz. There wasn't much water in those parts. The water had to be drawn and carried to the fields in large vessels. Gleaning out in the hot sun during the harvest would make a person very thirsty. The water that was brought to the field was not just for anyone's use, it was brought strictly for the laborers. By giving Ruth permission to freely drink of these vessels, she no longer had to waste precious time going out to get her own. Now she would have all the more time to press on in her work. Brothers and sisters, do you recall what James wrote in chapter 1, verse 27? "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Boaz was concerned about the widow. And James went on to say in the next chapter, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. I believe this book shows us that Boaz wasn't just a nice guy. He wasn't just a nice guy. He was a man who possessed genuine, saving faith. He trusted the promises of God and loved the gospel of salvation. Seeing this young widow and learning that she was the Moabite who came back with the widow Naomi, Boaz immediately took steps to ensure her safety and provision. The Old Testament, God repeatedly commanded that the widows and orphans be cared for. He had always expressed special concern for them, and he wanted his people to reflect that same concern. Psalm 68, verse 5 says, a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. Psalm 146, 9, the Lord relieves the fatherless and widow. Exodus chapter 22, verse 22, you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Congregation, your love expressed to your brothers and sisters in need is a revelation of what lives in your heart. True sacrificial love demonstrated to the less fortunate is one of the signs of a renewed heart. Those who have tasted of the love of God reach out with love to the helpless. Is that evident in your life? Is that evident in your life? Do you care about those in distress, those who are suffering? We, of course, live in a land of much wealth, but there are still needs that ought to be attended to, especially now in these difficult days. James says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, to show concern for the weak and suffering. But speaking of the final judgment and the separation of the sheep and the goats, Jesus said that the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And the righteous will say, Lord, when did we do these things? And the king will answer, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. A redeemed heart reaches out to those in need. Boaz didn't say to Ruth, go in peace, be warmed and filled. He did more than that. He ensured that she had what was needed for the body. Using the language of James, his faith was evident by his works. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Boaz was among the minority in Israel who displayed genuine, saving faith in the days of the judges. We saw last time that his mother, Rahab, the prostitute from the city of Jericho, was a foreigner who received the gift of saving faith and was engrafted into the nation of Israel. And therefore, Boaz was not only raised in a grace-filled, gospel-loving home, but he was also undoubtedly more sympathetic to foreigners than many others in the land. And so for the first time since her arrival in Israel, Ruth received a hopeful reception. And this brings us to point number two, a humble response. A humble response. All this kindness shown by Boaz was rather overwhelming for Ruth. That a wealthy, influential, well-known man such as he would show kindness to her was almost beyond belief. How did she respond? Look with me to verse 10. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground. She humbly prostrated herself before Boaz in humility and gratitude. She recognized that he was going far beyond his duty. She had probably not expected such incredible kindness when she left the home of Naomi that morning. She had just picked out a field at random, and it turned out to be the field of this most generous man. But why was this man so generous? Why did he show such kindness to her? What motivated him to single her out as an object of concern and compassion? Why me? As Ruth lay on her face before Boaz, she had all these questions within her. She asked, verse 10, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" We see again that Ruth was acutely aware of her status as an outsider. She knew that by birth she had no right to be ranked among the covenant people of God. Yet Boaz had treated her as a fellow Israelite, welcoming her, providing for her, and protecting her. Why? Why have I found favor in your eyes? Congregation, have you ever asked that question of the Lord? Have you ever fallen on your face before him, overwhelmed by his kindness to you? And have you ever said, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me?" You know in your heart that by nature you have no right to be numbered among the people of God. You have no right to be the recipient of his kindness and benevolence. You have no right to your daily provision, and you certainly have no right to eternal life. Have you ever looked around you at the home in which you live, the car you drive, the family you are part of, the church that you are a member of, and asked, "Why? Why should you take notice of me? I am a sinner, a rebel, a lawbreaker, a lover of self with an idolatrous heart." And then have you ever pondered the wonder of the cross, the miracle of grace, the promise of eternal life, and the joys of heaven in the presence of his majestic glory? And have you asked, "Why? Of all the millions of people in the world, why me? I am just as vile as anyone else. I fall into sin every day again. My thoughts constantly move into areas where they shouldn't be. I am still so very earthly minded. I deserve the eternal horrors of hell. Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me?" Ruth, a foreigner, felt completely unworthy of the kindness of Boaz. Is that how you feel about the kindness of God in your life? And does it drive you to worship? Is your heart filled with gratitude to him for his incredible kindness and grace? And then there's another matter here that I think we ought to consider as well. Boaz made Ruth feel welcome and at home in the covenant community. For the first time, she felt that there just might be a place for her among the people of God. Prior to this moment, there is no recorded positive word to her. In chapter 1, the women of Bethlehem spoke to Naomi, but there's no indication that they welcomed Ruth at all. It is not until here in chapter 2 that she receives a kind word from Boaz. It makes me wonder. It really makes me wonder, how well do we welcome outsiders into the church, into the covenant community? Do we sometimes fail to welcome the Ruths who may be sitting in our churches? People who are not quite the same as we are. Do we sometimes fail to see what Boaz saw and neglect to show the kindness that he showed? As Christians, do we sometimes huddle in our own familiar and comfortable group while the Ruths walk away alone and lonely? when you come to church on Sunday, which we hope to do again soon. When you come to church on Sunday, do you scan the crowd for those who may be alone? Do we welcome those who may have little to offer us? Do we reach out with God's kindness and grace? Do the Ruths say, "Yes, there is a place for me here"? Or do people walk out our doors with their head down thinking, "I guess there's no room in the church for me. Obviously, I haven't reached their standard and don't meet their approval"? Congregation, when we reflect upon the ministry of the great descendant of Boaz, our Lord Jesus Christ, we see how he reached out with kindness to all who came to him. He didn't ignore those who were marginalized. He promised rest to all who were weary and heavy laden. And that's what we are called to do as well. As Boaz noticed Ruth and reached out to her with compassion, so we ought to notice the Ruths in our churches and reach out to them with the kindness of Christ. And we may just discover, as did Boaz, that some of them are actually people of very noble character with much to contribute to the body of Christ. And if any of you who are with us this morning have been disappointed by the coldness of Christians, I want you to know that every person in the church is also in need of growth and grace. Yes, we sometimes fail. Yes, we are sometimes cold. And we don't always treat people as we should. But I can assure you that you will never be disappointed by the great descendant of Boaz, Jesus Christ. Come to him with all your sins, burdens, and concerns. And like Boaz, he will reach out to you with tenderness and compassion. He welcomes sinners with astonishing grace. Yes, he welcomes outsiders. We come then to point number 3. In our text, we see not only a hopeful reception and a humble response, but also an honorable reputation. An honorable reputation. Follow along, please, in your Bibles at verse 11. But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before." The dedication, love, and commitment of Ruth to her mother-in-law had been noticed in Bethlehem. Boaz had been informed of her faithfulness. The reports that he heard were very favorable, and he was impressed. People of God, although Ruth had been a Moabite, her life now displayed the obvious fruits of faith. Is that true of you as well? How are you known in the community? What kind of reputation do you have? Are you known as a woman or a man of Christ-like integrity and compassion? Are you known for your righteousness and faithfulness? Righteousness and faithfulness that flow out of a heart of love for Jesus Christ. How do people in your neighborhood describe you? How do people in the church describe you? Do they see love and respect in your home? Boaz said to Ruth, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me." Those who observed her could see that she was not merely living for herself. She was not mooching off Naomi. She wasn't sitting on the couch sipping soda expecting Naomi to provide. She possessed a servant's heart. willing to give, willing to sacrifice, willing to deny herself for the sake of her mother-in-law, Ruth truly lived a God-centered life, and it was noticed in Bethlehem. May that be true of us as well. If you claim to trust, love, and serve Jesus Christ, then your life ought to display the fruits of faith. Because Jesus sacrificed himself for you, you're willing to humbly serve those around you, starting at home. Now, congregation, in verse 11, does the mention of her leaving father and mother and the land of her birth to come to a strange people remind you of anyone? It brings to my mind the journey of Abraham. Perhaps the author of this book was deliberately drawing our attention to this so that we may see the parallel between the two. In Genesis 12, Abraham was called to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house and go to a land that the Lord would show him. Like Abraham, Ruth left her home for a strange land. She left her kindred and her father's house. She left her people to join with people that she did not know. Perhaps for Boaz, her faith resembled that of Abraham, the great father of the nation. And truly, it did resemble that of Abraham. Because of these excellent qualities recorded in verse 11, Boaz said in verse 12, go there for a moment, verse 12, the Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Boaz uttered a prayer on Ruth's behalf. He was saying, my kindness is really but a small token. May Yahweh repay your work. May Yahweh reward you for your godly life. May he grant you all your needs. Isn't it interesting, congregation, that in due time, this prayer was answered through the very one who uttered it? The one who prayed this prayer is the one through whom it was answered. Through Boaz, Yahweh would repay her deeds. Through Boaz, he would grant a full reward, and she would be blessed beyond her highest expectations. The end of verse 12 says that she had sought refuge where? Children? Under the wings of Yahweh, refuge and safety in the covenant God of Israel. I love that picture. The image here is that of an eagle who spreads out his wings over its young. When the mother senses danger, she spreads her wings and her young run under them and find refuge. We find similar imagery in the Song of Moses recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11. Listen. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions, the Lord alone guided him. We also find many such references in the Psalms. Ruth's great-grandson would write these words in Psalm 17, verse 8. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who would do me violence. Again, in Psalm 36, verse 7, the children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. When David was hiding in a cave as he was fleeing from King Saul, he wrote the words of Psalm 57, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. In Psalm 63, when David was in the wilderness of Judah, he wrote, you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. And again, Psalm 91, we find these words. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Now listen to this. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. Being under the wings of Yahweh is a picture of safety, quietness, help, hope, and security. To be sheltered under his wings is to be protected from the forces of evil. Ruth had left the devouring jaws of Chemosh and had come under the protective wings of Yahweh. Her security was no longer in Chemosh. Her security was in the Lord her God. Ruth was herself like a defenseless young bird. But now that she had identified with the people of the covenant, she was safely under the protective wings of Yahweh. Through her confession of faith in chapter 1, she had come into the comforting realm of Yahweh's protection. A congregation, don't we see this so clearly in the very next chapter? In this chapter? This chapter begins by introducing us to a man named Boaz. We saw last time that Ruth just happened to glean in his field. He just happened to come while she was there. Once her identity was discovered, Boaz graciously allowed her to glean in his field. He commanded the young men not to touch her. He gave her free access to their drinking vessels. He spoke to her very tenderly and graciously. Through all these things, the Lord was already blessing her and encouraging her to remain under his wings. But there is yet more. There is yet more to finding refuge under the wings of Yahweh than all these material provisions. Through these blessings, the Lord was showing that he was able to provide all her needs, not only temporal, but also eternal. Please hear this. Refuge under the wings of Yahweh is a beautiful picture of salvation. What do we find in the New Testament? In Matthew 23, our Lord lamented the rebellion of Israel. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Jerusalem represents the nation as a whole. Time and again, Jesus had revealed himself to the nation. They had heard his words and seen his wondrous works. They had been called to repentance. They had been shown the way of life. Jesus cried out, "You could have found refuge under my wings." Just as a chick finds safety under the wings of the mother hen in times of danger, so you could have come to me for refuge, but you were not willing. Brothers and sisters, what a great picture of salvation. Being received under the wings of Jesus Christ. Although Ruth lived many years before Jesus, she came to understand her need for refuge. There was more that drew her to the land of Judah than the charming character of her mother-in-law. Ruth came for shelter under the wings of Jesus Christ. Although she could not see the reality, the promises were there. The promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that through their seed, blessings would come to the nations. Ruth believed. Many of those who should have known better rejected those promises. Sometimes the prophets of Israel were stoned. Those who were sent by God were silenced. Many of God's covenant people saw no need for refuge under his wings. They felt secure on their own. Jesus mourned over such people. I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. People of God, where are you looking today for refuge? Have you come to trust him and to rest under his wings? Have you come to trust Jesus Christ and rest under his wings? Ruth's taking refuge under the wings of Yahweh is very significant. For through those means, God was fulfilling his promise to bring the Savior into the world. Today, you and I are able to look back and see all the pieces of the puzzle put into place. We have that complete picture before us. Nothing is missing. How much greater reason do we have to seek refuge under his wings? People of God, this image of a hen gathering her chicks is very comforting. Picture a hawk flying in the sky. He comes diving down to attack the chicks. The mother raises her wings, and the chicks find refuge below them. The attack of the predator fails. The chicks are safe. Were it not for the fact that Jesus has purchased us with his own blood, we would certainly fall under the attacks of Satan. We would be devoured by the enemy. But there is refuge in the blood of Jesus Christ. Ruth sought refuge in the God of Israel, and he demonstrated his grace to her in very concrete ways. He showed her that he would not forsake her. He would hold her in life and in death. And he will do that for you as well. He is faithful to those who seek refuge in him. He will not forsake you. He will hold you in life and in death. The congregation, don't seek refuge in yourself. Don't seek refuge in others. Don't seek refuge in the world, but seek refuge under the wings of Jesus Christ. Do any of you feel alone and lonely? Do any of you feel insecure and unsettled because of the current challenges in our world? Do any of you fear the potential changes in our world? I want to remind you today, there is refuge in Jesus Christ. Trust him and confess his name so that you may rest, truly rest under his protective wings. In the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. May that truly be the confession of each and every one of you. In the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. Let us pray.